We always start the interviews by making sure we actually have a band in the studio as opposed to a bunch of goons who just showed up, which happens a lot at this radio station. So is there a band here?
There is a band.
Well, would you from, now we're recording this in mono, but I will eventually put this in 5.1 surround sound for the radio listeners. So let's start from stage, watch, this is a trick. Let's start from stage left. Ha, gotcha.
Hello?
Yes, that's you. You're stage left.
Yes. Hey, hi, I'm Travis. I play bass in the band You Said Saturday.
My name is Joshua. I sing in You Said Saturday.
My name is Alex Kelly. I play Rhodes and electric cello in the band You Said Saturday.
So, boy, different kinds of... But there are no actual strings on a Rhodes, so...
Exactly.
If it was a real piano, it would have strings, and we could just call you String Boy.
Exactly.
But we can't.
We can call him... I think we will call him String Boy.
It's like a Seinfeld thing. Hello, String Boy.
My name is Christian Williams, and I play drums.
You're not from here.
No, I'm from Austria.
I knew you weren't from San Francisco. You didn't say dude. Yeah. And the last victim.
My name's Peter Scott, and I play guitar.
The most obvious dumb question. Who wants to take the name question?
The name's a good one. My wife owns a pastry shop that she runs with her sister, Christina, who is a temperamental, sweet little girl.
Nice words you put together. They're temperamental and sweet.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix.
Yeah, they were a comedy team in the 60s, temperamental and sweet.
Oftentimes I'm down there visiting my wife and overheard a conversation that Christina was having with a customer. The customer was picking up a cake, and the cake wasn't ready yet. And the customer said, I was going to pick it up on Friday. And Christina said, no, you said Saturday. And I'm pretty sure I said Friday. No, you said Saturday. No, I know... I told my wife I was going to pick it up on Friday. No, you said Saturday. So she literally said, you said Saturday, about 15 times in this argument. And it just went ding, 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 ding. That's a good name for a pop band. So I actually asked everybody in the pastry shop at that time, like, what do you guys think? Is this a good name for a band? And the different mix of people all kind of agreed it would be a good name for a band. So simply that's how the band name came about.
And what is it with service in this America that you can't get your damn cake?
Well, from
on
my
sister, you're supposed to get it.
From my sister-in-law, maybe.
Let's talk. Donovan, I mean, because it is a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Did it represent kind of a feel and a sound and an era and all of that? I'm going to get much deeper into this in a little while.
It actually did in a big way. It was
so. Tell me a little bit about that. And of course, Mr. Donovan is back and alive and well and all of that after 8 gazillion years. He magically reappeared.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he reappeared and everybody went, ooh, but he did, you know, because he's had such a checkered past.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, actually, that song was how the whole album started in a sense where my wife played it for me and I liked it a lot. And I thought it would be fun to do some different arrangements of a lot of Donovan songs. And that was the first one we did. And then through that, I liked the vibe of the arrangements and the instrumentation that we kind of decided to do on that song. And then started to write original songs a little bit with the same kind of vibe. So in other words, how that Donovan song fits into this record, it kind of actually started with the Donovan song first, and the original songs kind of grew from that kind of instrumentation and vibe.
Interesting.
Yeah. So with the piano and all the kinds of stuff that we did.
People either know Donovan or they don't know Donovan. There's no in between. He's one of those... Long lost, you know, I mean, he had huge hits in that era, but, you know, it's kind of...
It's surprising to me who actually, there was a young girl, probably 17, a vocalist that I just met, and she saw this record, and she was like, oh, I love this, my favorite Donovan song. And I was like, wow.
Now, the band that is sitting here, am I right or am I wrong, and I want to say this carefully, is not the exact band that's on the record that I've got in front of me. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, you came up with a cool name for the band, and then you set out to form a band, but you also made a record, right? And that record was not really made at that moment in time by I'm doing the quotes thing for those of you who can't see this on TV, a band.
Yeah.
It was like a Bush thing, wasn't it? A band.
Yeah. It was a tricky situation. The simple story is that Josh, the vocalist, and I are dear friends, and we've been working together for 9 years. As a duo with many other bandmates that have come and gone through the years, continue to work together and, you know, I write, Josh sings, and we record with different musicians over the years. Just simply because we could not find the right guys to be in a band with for a number of different reasons. I have a dear friend in Los Angeles, a guy named Lyle Workman, who's a great guitar player, who has a beautiful studio, and we were just talking one day, and his studio had just been finished, just been completed. He'd been dying to get something in there to record, and it's a beautiful state-of-the-art studio. So he offered it to me to be kind of the guinea pig to record down there, so he could get his studio kind of tweaked for his use, using my music. So he was the one that had the idea that, you know, we record down there. He put together the recording band, and we recorded together. When the tracks were finished, Josh sang on them. And at that point...
But that recording band, and again, without going into detail, you can go into the detail you want, because I know some of it, wasn't necessarily available to be a band and or to tour. They had other obligations.
No, it simply happened so quickly through this Donovan song, and again through Lyle, almost the next day offering me his studio time. I said, you know, I want to do this Donovan song. And it just came out so well. And then I had another song, which was actually Seaside, that I was kind of strumming on the guitar. And Lyle said, let's just keep going, you know. So we kept the same musicians that we kind of brought in to do the Donovan song. And next thing you knew, we had 8 songs, like, relatively quickly. And then Josh, we did the vocals. And we had this piece of music and no band. And the response to the record was so good that it was necessary to put a band together. And it was just, you know, we've been trying for 9 years to put the right group of guys together, and it just had such a hard time. And it's a really tough thing to do, which most musicians
know. Oh, no, I know. I mean, just watch the commitments. Poor Jimmy had to put an ad in the paper, and then all those people showed up and knocked on his door, and his dad got really mad.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you know that, you remember that reference, one of my favorite films, but I think that's how all bands, isn't that how all bands are put together?
Yeah.
You put the ad in the paper, and then your dad, you know, they knock on your dad's door, and the dad says, he doesn't play the tuba really well, get him out of here, Jimmy. You don't want to be in rock and roll, Jimmy, get a real job. Be a pipe fitter, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way it works?
That is the way it works.
I'm an innocent, aren't I? 30 years of doing radio, and I'm an innocent, right?
Yeah.
Nah, not quite. Yeah. But all kidding aside, now this is the opportunity. Let the band, you've talked enough,
sure.
Peter. Shut up for a while, will
ya?
Why don't you guys talk a little bit about, seriously, where you came from and why you want to be in this band and all of that good stuff. And most importantly, what it was like to have Peter choose you.
Should we start stage left?
Yeah. Okay. That last one's the kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks.
I want to get a little band infighting going on. Yeah. Really, really. You see, you know, by the time you guys are big, right, and you're in the big Stratocruiser bus, I want you to remember this moment that I've started all the arguments.
Yeah.
We haven't had one yet, by the way.
This is my goal.
I was living in Los Angeles. And I was, you know, just trying to do the same thing that everyone does in Los Angeles, being a band or, you know, get into the entertainment industry.
You want to be a movie star?
Maybe not a movie star. But the band thing wasn't working out down there. And I'd received an email from Peter kind of chronicling what has gone on with the band. He sent me some of the tracks, and they were great. I mean, they were better than anything that was going on down there. You know, musically, they had, you know, they were real. They weren't just people in bands. And I came up, auditioned, and here I am.
Okay.
I'm Josh. I came down to San Francisco in 1995 on a road trip.
Where'd you come down from?
Coming down from north of Seattle, a little tiny town called Anacortes.
I think that, isn't that just to the left of the aorta?
So,
an anaconda, which is never mind.
So... I don't know. Peter and I have been working together for 9 years.
Musically?
Musically. I moved here, and following that road trip, like 6 months later, I moved down here in 96, and I've been working with Peter musically. And yeah, it's been really great. This record that we've done is, as far as I'm concerned, you know, some of the greatest music I've ever been involved. It is the greatest music I've ever been involved in.
Cool.
And now, you know, we have a full band. We have a real live human
as
setup.
Opposed to that dead inhuman.
Well, as opposed to like guys who just can't commit, you know, and that's the hardest part about having a band is just finding people that say, yes, I believe in this music.
Okay, string boy.
Yes.
Tell us your story, String Boy.
So my story, originally from Kansas, via Philly, and most recently Oregon. I've been in San Francisco 3 years, met Peter through a friend, a mutual friend that we have, and she recommended me, because Peter put out the word that he's looking for a keyboard player, so we connected, and I played for him, and they're like, yeah, you're the man. So,
well, you didn't even play, Travis and I just met you, and we were...
He had a really cool hat on. That's the only reason.
You're like, it's all about the hat.
The hat.
Yeah.
And so every band photo, every show, I have to wear the hat now.
Hi there. Let's see. He went to he went all the way to Austria.
From Austria.
No, but he went. Yeah. He was on tour in Austria, and he said,
we must have Christian.
We must have Christian in the band.
Who's the best in Austria?
Yeah, who's the best?
Who's the best in Austria?
Yeah, I'm living for 2 years now in San Francisco.
How did you get here, all kidding aside?
Yeah, my wife lives here, and my sister, a family here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got here, and I was basically, I started music in Austria, and then I was looking for something in San Francisco, you know, which is really, you know, which with great songs, you know what I mean, great musicianship, and also which works from the personals, you know what I mean, like where the people work together, you know, where the band, and that's what I found with You Said Saturday.
So tell me, who does the band want to be? What are the songs about? Have you, is there a real vision for the kind of things you want to talk about? You know, are you going to be political, apolitical, love songs? You know,
not political. That's
not
for
political
sure.
At all. I mean, certainly just personal and definitely love songs. Love about every kind of love and relationships and experiences. And I mean, Seaside's about a road trip. It's about a memory of a good time, not a specific road trip, but all the road trips.
Gigs. So I understand the women take off their shirts, throw things. No, I'm kidding. But when people come to see you, if they've heard this record, are they going to get a harder, fuller sound live? Or are they going to get theatrical? I mean, seriously, what do you, tell me a little bit about that.
They get definitely, to be honest, some of those songs, it's a very produced record. When you try and do that live, it's tough unless you have a 25-piece band.
Or you get a backing track or 20.
And what we decided to do, and again, when this band was formed, how we started playing together was through some new songs before we even looked at this record. It just so happened I had new songs I was dying to hear, and voila, here's the guys, you know? And that kind of started a little trend with us. I mean, we've only been a band, like a few months, you know? So this new songs have been coming out quite rapidly. So the live set... it's mostly new songs, to be honest. We do 3 songs off this record, and we do them definitely more punchy, more airy, because we don't have all the instruments available. And fortunately, they work well, just guitar, piano, drums, bass, and vocals. Without all the overdubs and harmony vocals and all that, people seem to enjoy them. So the live thing, what we're really trying to do is just have a really good energy. So people are just like, wow.
So when you record these new songs, and I'm going to circle back to the gigs in a second, but when you record your new songs, will the goal be to still produce or to make it sound kind of like a balance, more like, and it's a rhetorical question, obviously, but, you know, more like the live sound? Or do you think it's kind of cool to have a very produced record and then have people see it live and get a whole, I mean, I think what really bores the living daylights out of me, at least over, you know, how many bands that I've seen over the years is, I mean, okay, you saw the Ramones, you heard their record. And even still live, they were different because they were very, you know, they were so well produced.
Yeah.
They had great producers. Sire Records didn't put out anything that wasn't well produced.
Yeah.
No matter how punky, you know, the Saints, I mean, all these bands were well produced.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with having a well produced record and then giving people a treat when they see you live.
It will be very produced on the same lines as that. And then live, because already, even when we're playing it, it works as, you know, a 5-piece band really well, which is the good news. Like, that's fine. The songs really work. But I'm already hearing the harmonies and the, you know, string parts and all that. So it will be very similar to that. Obviously, different songs, of course, but and they'll progress. But the production will be very similar to that first record.
Last thing we do to fill out the interview, we call it a musical sandwich. And what we do is we take 2 of your songs as the bread. And then you get to put in as many fillings in between as you so choose. And literally, I go into the studio with turntables and CD players, and I segue it live.
I think starting it off with Seaside would be nice, because it's the way we start the album, and it starts with a nice punch, open with a bang. And
then what will be the other half of the bread?
I kind of think Rope Swing. It's Rope Swing kind of. It's actually my favorite song. It's interesting arrangement, and it kind of people kind of pass over that a little bit. But let's do "I'm on Nights" by Richard Hawley.
When the world is running down, police.
How about like a Bach cello suite?
We've done this. Yeah. Just as long as you don't do pack, as long as you don't pack Bell's canon, you're fine by me.
Yeah, exactly.
You like, know, no pack Bell's canon, no prelude, Beethoven's fifth. It's not happening.
Prelude to suite number six.
Okay. I can. It's not that hard to do.
For me, it would be Tom Scott and the LA Express. Sneaking in the back, you know this song?
Of course.
I'm going to pick Taxman by the Beatles.
This is one. This is one for Christian's sake, for the rhythm section's sake. The Payback, James Brown.
How about anything from Hat, Blue Nile?
Okay, all right, couple more. Come on, let's keep them coming here.
I don't know, something from Buddy Miles.
Tom Waits, Alice. Yeah.
Give me a couple more. Bring it up. Bring it up from Tom.
Well, something from Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Which one? Come on, pick one.
Lucretia, McKee.
What is and what shall never be, or. What is and what's to be, or what is and what should never be.